This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and it's so good to be with you today. We are live for you today. It's been a long week, and I'll share with you about that in just a moment, but here we are, and I'm so delighted that we have this time together. Oh, my goodness, when I'm not with you, I miss you so much, and I certainly do hope that you miss being with us in those moments when we're preempted and other things take place. But all of that being said, we want to invite you to give us a call here on Women of Grace Live. I just am missing your voice. I sure am. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. If you are outside of North America, you can call us at country code 1-205-271-2985. That number for you to use here in North America, toll free for you again, is 833-288-EWTN. We have Ryan Penny on the phones. He is on duty, and he is eager to hear from you too. Jeff Burson's back in the saddle with us. He is back. He and his lovely wife took a beautiful trip to Portugal. We were chatting about it for a moment or two before we went on the air today, and what a great privilege and honor it is, right, to visit these holy sites and to be filled up with the life of our Lord and the blessings that he wants to give us from these beautiful, beautiful locations. So Jeff is back, and he's going to get your social media questions or comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement, and put them up here on the board for me. So you can go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. That's EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page, and you can indeed get in touch with us via that mechanism. I am out there for you, waving to you. I am live with you there. Hello, how are you this morning? And so we invite you to take advantage of that opportunity. So, you know, Jeff was talking about this beautiful trip to Portugal, and I was telling him I was there back in 2017 for the centenary anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima, and traveled from there through some other beautiful locations in Portugal and on into Spain. And then through there, did we go to Spain? Yeah, we did. And then we made our way up to France. And because we were in Avila, and we were in Loyola. It was wonderful. And then we went on into Lourdes, and Lourdes is an amazing place. And we were blessed all along the way in abundant ways. And as a matter of fact, if you felt like scrolling back 2 years on our Facebook page, you can actually watch the videos that we took via phone that we put up and posted on Facebook, and you can travel to some of those locations with us. They turned out very nicely for the most part, and you can see the beautiful relics of St. Teresa of Avila and things like that, but you have to scroll back. Well, at any rate, what I'm heading off to tell you here is that my husband Jack and I, Jack Williams, are going to Lourdes again. We're going April the 12th through the 20th. We're going to be there for Holy Week. We come back Holy Saturday, just in time for Easter Sunday. It's going to be an amazing opportunity. Lourdes, Paris, and Lisieux. These holy sites so filled with the grace of God. Lourdes, of course, where so many wonderful healings have taken place in the past. And on the pilgrimage that we were on last time, there were many testimonies of spiritual healings that happened when we were there that have produced great fruit in the lives of some of the pilgrims that went. We didn't have any physical healings that I'm aware of, but we certainly had spiritual healings. And, you know, there's such a beautiful relationship between the body and the soul. That's the composite of who the human person is, body and soul. That oftentimes when we're healed spiritually, some of the maladies that we have physically disappear as well. So I want to encourage you, if you can come with us, please do consider it. If you go out to womenofgrace.com, womenofgrace.com, the very first slideshow is a slideshow that talks about this pilgrimage. You can click on that. It'll take you to a landing page, and all of the information is given to you there. And you can even click there there to register. So I certainly do hope that you'll find it, you know, a calling from the Lord to join us, this beautiful, beautiful pilgrimage that's taking place April 12th through the 20th to Lourdes, Paris. We're going to the Shrine, of the Miraculous Medal there. I cannot wait to go there. And then on to Lisieux, the city of St. Therese, the little flower, St. Therese of Lisieux. So we're hoping you can join us, get out there and get all of the information. Beautiful opportunities. So I mentioned to you that, you know, Jack and I were out of town, and Father Wade on Open Line on Tuesday mentioned that Jack's mother had passed away, and she and Jack's dad, who is still living, are in Joplin, Missouri. So we drove out to Joplin, Missouri last Friday after the show, after our radio show. And we stayed through the time of her passing, and then we stayed for a few days after. And so here we are today. I had a trip in between there, too, that I had to attend to. But all of that being said, you know, we never know the day nor the time. And having experienced this numbers of times in my own life now, we always need to be aware of the fact that our God loves us. We always need to be aware of the fact that God knows the perfect moment to take us into eternal life. And sometimes we wonder about that. And I cannot tell you how many times I am approached by moms who have lost a child simply because they know that I lost a child. And they're asking the big question, that three-letter question, why? Why? And we can't really answer that why. We don't know why that's the perfect time. But when we have faith, we rely on the fact that our omniscient God knows why. He understands completely why this is the perfect time. And what brought great consolation to my soul with the death of my son was the fact that this God, who loved my son more than I could possibly love him, I loved him with as much love as I could love him. But my love is so limited. What is it limited by? Well, it's limited by my own capacity. It's limited by the amount of territory that I haven't given over of my being to the Lord, that I still strive to give over. It's limited by all of the wounds of my heart that I've experienced through life that have sometimes in certain areas rendered me dead or cold. It's limited by the fact that my own temporal being limits it. But you see, this God is a God of infinitude. He has no wounds of the heart. I do believe that God understands suffering and suffers. We know that that is the case because Jesus Christ suffered, and he suffered greatly. Maybe Jesus Christ suffered so that within the Godhead that experience of suffering would be known. I don't know. I don't understand. These are mysteries that someday we will discover. Well worth pondering, though, in our time of prayer and in our time of gazing on the face of Christ, those intimate moments when we can ask him such questions, and through the Holy Spirit we receive some insight, some intuited knowledge, some words that we can hear in our heart. But what we do know is that God's timing is always perfect. And so though we might not understand it, God does not ask for our understanding. He asks for our faith, and he asks for our trust. And when we begin to invest that, well, then things begin to make sense. Not necessarily in a cognitive way, but they certainly do begin to make sense in the soul and in the spirit. And that effect is rendered in our psychology and in our emotions. We're going to be right back with you. More on Women of Grace Live today. I'm Johnette Williams. We're inviting you, 833-288-EWTN. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I'm happy to be with you live today right here on EWTN Radio, brought to you by so many marvelous affiliates and available to you on so many platforms. Always encourage you to support EWTN Radio through EWTN and support your affiliates. Oh, my gracious sakes. I wish that I could highlight those words and underline them and put stars around them. We invite you to support your affiliates who bring you such such marvelous programming that helps us to grow in our life of faith, edifies us, builds us up, that we might go out and be edifiers too, builders up of the faith in the hearts of others. So we encourage you always to support those who bring you the good news of Jesus Christ through the airwaves. Want to invite you to join us via these airwaves today, and you can do that by picking up your phone and punching in a couple of numbers, and here they are, toll free for you right here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-3986. Pick up the phone, give us a call here. Ryan Penny at the helm, ready to go. He certainly is. If you're outside of North America, country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985 is the way that you can join us too. We'll scoot you to the front of the line. Take your call first, since you're calling us from a far-flung place. In addition to all of that, we're available for you out there on EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, inviting you to join us there, giving you a hearty wave, and inviting you to get out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page, to use the chat feature. That chat feature permits you to enter your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement right in there. Jeff Burson, back in the saddle, recently returned from Portugal, will be very, very happy to take your messages and get them up on the board for me here. So we were talking about suffering. It's not exactly what I planned to talk about, but here we are, and that's what we're talking about. So it might be purposeful, and maybe the Holy Spirit has something in mind for you to hear as a result of it. We were talking about the big why question, you know, and how it is that that question is hard to answer, because God is omniscient and knows all things, and we as human persons do not know all things. What we can know is this: God never permits a suffering to enter into our lives out of which he does not intend to work a great good. And you might ask yourself, well, how can there be a good in this? How can there be a good in it when a mother or a father loses his child or her child? You know, how can there be a good in it when I'm watching my loved one die a torturous death from disease? How can there be a good in it when a horrendous traffic accident occurs and lives are lost? How can there be a good in this? We see, my dear friends, we don't have that omniscient gaze of God. We cannot see all things. We only see what it is that we see in that moment. But what God has the capacity to see through his omniscient gaze is the totality of things. Only God knows how that person's life would have gone. Only God knows what is the state of that person's soul in that moment. Only God knows how it is that perhaps somebody that's very hardened and has taken a stance against him will, in a moment of softening, in a moment of deep need, cry out, even perhaps as the soul is leaving the body, God, have mercy on me, and that is good enough for God. And maybe God knows that that moment is ripe, R-I-P-E, ripe with that opportunity. And that it's the time for harvest, for that opportunity that leads to salvation, that leads to eternal life. God knows these things. We do not. And so we travail, we suffer, we moan, we mourn, we weep, we cry. And that's all fine. Jesus did all of those things in sacred scripture. We have permission to grieve those that we love when they're gone from us. God does not expect for us to have ice flowing through our veins, but rather warmth, empathy, a true regard for the other. By the same token, we do not mourn in vain, as sacred scripture tells us, as the pagans do. We mourn, but we mourn with hope. Because though we might not know the answer to the why, we know the answer to the how it is that we make our way through it. And the how that we make our way through it is in faith and in trust. And when those pinpricks come, it could be through the death of a loved one, the diagnosis of a serious illness. It could be through the reversal, you know, of some aspect of our natural lives, you know, a job that you want that you don't get, or, you know, a job that's taken from you, or a financial reversal, or a child that's driving you crazy, or, you know, whatever the whatever illustration you would like to choose that would cause you travail. When we feel the prick of that travail, when we feel the prick of that suffering, when we feel the prick of the pain that is like a sword driving its way through our very being, we choose trust and faith. don't deny the sword, wouldn't that be foolhardy? We embrace the sword, knowing that a good is coming, not just for the situation at hand, but that there is a good that is going to blossom forth as a result of this. And only with our retrospective gaze will we be able to see the good that God brought forth from the deep travail, from the deep suffering, from the great loss, from the worry and the concern, for the every single one of those pinpricks that are thrust upon us, the great ones and the small ones. Through the eyes of faith, we can see things that the mind cannot grasp. And this is the beauty of prayer. This is the beauty of the way in which God works in a soul. This is the marvel at the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We're never alone. You know, in Isaiah, and I put up, I ran on the break there and I got my book, Experience Grace and Abundance, 10 Strategies for Your Spiritual Life. And in there, there's a chapter that I wrote on that's called Embrace the Cross. And I wrote this chapter before the death of my son. And one night in prayer, the Holy Spirit prompted me and prompted me to go back to the chapter that I had written. When I read that chapter, I realized that God, even as I was sitting there writing this chapter, he was already preparing me for the death of my son. I realized that in this chapter, parts of which, you know, I can honestly tell you, I was amazed that were on the page, God was already at work. He was already about the business of bringing me consolation through the words that had flown out, you know, from the keyboard to the computer to the printed page. And it was an amazing thing to recognize that, to realize that, to discover that this God is always about that process of bringing healing, even when the healing is not necessary yet, but that the healing will come. But I was looking through this, you know, as we went to the break, and there's a passage from Isaiah, it's 53, verse 4, where we're told that Jesus bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. This was a consoling thought to me after the death of my son when I reread these words, our griefs and carried our sorrows. That even as Jesus was passioning on the Via Dolorosa, even as those nails were being driven into his hands and into his feet, even when he was being derided and mocked and scorned, even when he was being slapped and rebuffed and tortured and scourged, in all of those moments, our sufferings were present to him in a mystical way. And the blood that he was shedding for you. He was shedding for you in your misery. He was shedding for you in your travail. He was shedding for you in your suffering. He was shedding for you. And there's that old beautiful song, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And though that blood was shed millennia ago, that blood is an eternal sacrifice that's represented on the altar every single day of every single year from that moment forward until now. That blood is available to us, this precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, wherein the healing that is necessary, the consolation that is necessary, the mercy that is necessary, the freedom that is necessary, the consolation that is necessary is contained. And I want to assure you, my brother, my sister in Christ, that no matter what you're experiencing this moment, I don't care what it is. I don't care the cost. That God's grace is sufficient for you. And you can cry out to the heavenlies. You can cry out and beg God to release that mercy, that consolation, that comfort, to release for you that glorious power of renewal and new life that comes forth with one drop of his blood, that drop of his blood that was shed for you in the midst of his travail. That drop has your name on it, and it is accessible to you, and all you need to do is ask for it. This is part of the subjective redemption. The theologians talk about the objective redemption and the subjective redemption. And the object of redemption means that sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ truly, really, substantially happened and occurred. And that redemptive grace is forever available to you 24/7. It is there. As surely as my raised hand is in the air, it is there. but we have to access it. And the way in which we access it is by saying, Fiat voluntas tua, I need your grace. I need that drop of your precious blood that was shed for me, Father God. Please provide it through the power of the Holy Spirit. The sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ is ever available to you. And you must know, and you must have the faith, that when you ask for it, when you say fiat, when you say please, when you say yes, when you give the totality of your being, as much of your being as you can give at the moment, because God knows where you can't give yet. He's working on that section, but he already has worked in other places. When you give that all back to God, I tell you right now, that grace flows down from the heavenlies. That drop of precious blood becomes efficacious in you. There's still a job for you to do, though. You have to meet it with an active faith and a live faith. Not only do you give intellectual assent that, yes, this has been given to me, but you codify that, so to speak, through action. And you begin to live in the grace and let the grace live in you. You begin to act in faith. You begin to get up. You begin to move. You begin to permit yourself to actualize the grace by moving in faith and trust, even when you don't feel those qualities in your being, even when they seem to defy your emotions, even when the circumstance begins to plead otherwise, you plead back and say, oh no, God's grace is sufficient for me, and I can take this next step, because through the blood of the Lamb, my travail has been suffered for already through the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And beautiful things begin to happen. The scales fall from our eyes. The cataracts are removed. And we begin to see the mystery behind the event. We begin to see things that we couldn't see ever with our natural eyes and could not see before that activation of faith and trust within us. I don't know why it works that way. You can ask God about that in your prayer time, but it does work that way. I know that it works that way. And I know that God desires that it work that way. So he is there for you right now, no matter what you're suffering, no matter how painful. No matter how you feel the weight of the cross, you are not carrying it alone. Jesus carried the cross for you already. He asks that you embrace the portion of it that's given to you now, knowing that he's already carried it, knowing that his precious blood is there for you, knowing that from the eternal moment, redemptive grace is flowing for you and for your loved one and for all of the situations that you are facing. Scripture tells us we walk by faith, not by sight. What does that mean? It means that God is active. That even when we cannot see it or comprehend it, see it with our natural eyes, comprehend it with our minds, nonetheless, the soul experiences it. And the indefatigable sign, the never-failing sign, that it is active within us comes by way of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There is an interior peace. It doesn't mean that travail, it doesn't mean that tumultuous waves, it doesn't mean that, there is calmness on the surface of the moment. But what it does mean is underneath it all, there is a particular acknowledgement in the soul of the peace that surpasses understanding, the presence of God, which becomes for us the very rudder that moves us through the time and brings us to the place of safe harbor. And just as our Blessed Mother consoled our Lord on his Via Dolorosa, just as she accompanied him every step of the way, just as she stood underneath that cross for 3 long hours watching her son be tortured to death, Our Lady desires to accompany you now. She wants to stand beside you in this moment, and Our Lady never stands idly by. Our Lady is always with us as she was with the Father, in the act of total gifting, in the act of making herself totally available with all of her maternal beatitude. That includes all of the attributes of her heart, all of the attributes of her soul. That includes all of the grace of her spouse, the Holy Spirit, who dwells in her in the most perfect, efficacious, and abundant way that he could ever dwell in a creature. And she offers that to you. We only need to say yes to that. We only need to accept her maternal love. And she'll take us by the hand and she will walk us the way. And in the midst of it all, she will reveal to us the most beautiful mysteries of her son's life that allow us to take a deep breath. Allow us to be grateful, even in the midst of the deepest of sorrows. So here we are on this Friday, the day in which we commemorate the cross and thank God for the gift of salvation. And God says back, salvation is yours. All you need to do is reach out and lay hold of it and move in it and let it move in you. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. We're inviting you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Looking forward to hearing from you. Pick up the phone. Give us a buzz. Ryan's waiting. We're going to be right back on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I'm very happy to be with you today. Looking forward to hearing from you right here. Let me give you the toll-free number for you to use if you're in North America. It begins with this number, 833. It's more than one number, isn't it? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We invite you to pick up the phone. Ryan Penny's going to answer your call. He's going to get your question, comment, insight, inspiration, your name, where you're calling from, and the station you're listening to up on the board for me so that we can get to you. We invite you also to get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We have got options for you there, too. We sure do. Right there in the chat feature, you can put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, word of encouragement, and it comes up on the board too. Jeff Burson back in the saddle with us is going to make that happen. So we invite you to do all of those things. We do have some things that are coming in through social media. So I'm going to get out there and answer some of those. This is from us, I think, via YouTube. And the question is this: my mind wanders a lot when I pray the rosary or the divine mercy. Sometimes I'm done before I know it. My question is this: are my prayers doing any good? I'm trying to pray a divine mercy every hour on the hour but sometimes I'm just saying words because I my mind wanders. Well, you know what? This is a common problem, my dear, and I wouldn't worry about it. Distraction is a part of prayer. Distraction comes to us, right? And the great saints talk about distraction in prayer, so it always makes me feel better when I know that they too suffered with this. Teresa of Avila always said to have a good book with you in prayer so that if your mind begins to wander, you can turn to something that's going to be edifying and inspirational and lift your heart and lift your mind up. So if you're praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and let me say it's really very meritorious that you're trying to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet every hour on the hour, what I would suggest is that you have a copy of the Diary of St. Faustina with you. And if you find that your mind is wandering, just open it up, even randomly, and read a little bit, and let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to you through those words. And then, as you begin to sense that the Holy Spirit speaking, and as you're listening to what He is saying, and as you're pondering all of this in your heart, you can once again pick up your rosary beads upon which we pray the chaplet, unless you have an actual Divine Mercy chaplet rosary, and you can continue to move forward with that. So this is one way in which you can begin to arrest those distractions. Now, distractions come, but we have to make certain that we're not allowing ourselves to be carried away with them. Sometimes we're complicit in this, right? The distraction comes, it's unbidden, it impresses itself upon ourselves. It might come from the environment in which we're in. You know, we hear the washing machine go off and right away we think, oh, I've got to move that load of laundry from the washer to the dryer. Or you can hear a truck moving down the street and you can say, oh, I forgot to put the garbage out. You know, it can be any of those things that come from our senses. Our senses take these things in. But the idea here is, just because it takes it in doesn't mean that we have to allow it to gain possession of us. So when we begin to see that our mind is drifting, we return back to the prayer. Sometimes what I like to do, when this happens to me, especially in praying the rosary, sometimes I have to come, my capacity to meditate on each of those mysteries can be very difficult for me to get through all 10 Hail Marys. And when that does happen, you know, I'll always ask our Blessed Lady Mother, take me more deeply into this mystery. And then I'll concentrate on the words that I'm saying. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And maybe I'll pause there and I'll ponder on those words for a minute. The Lord is with Our Lady. I'm asking Our Lady to be with me now in this time of prayer, to take me into the mysteries of her son's life. You know, surely she is with me in this moment. You know, and then I just try to imagine her presence with me. And I try with the use of my imagination, you know, to gaze upon her most immaculate heart. Sometimes I'll imagine myself going into that heart, right? And then I continue with the words, right? So, you know, these are aids to keeping us invested, if you will, in the prayer in which we're praying. So you might try those. You know, other times too, you know, you can have with you a little... And there's so many of them, little booklet on the mysteries of the rosary. And you might read about what happened at that time, you know, in that mystery. And maybe there's a word there that will spark something in your heart that will lead you on through that particular mystery. The other thing I want to say is this. If you sense the Holy Spirit showing up in a mystery with you, you know, for example, maybe you're praying, one of my favorites is the fourth sorrowful mystery, which is Jesus carries his cross. And a particular moment of that Via Dolorosa, especially that we pray also, it's the number four, and the Stations of the Cross, is when Jesus meets his mother. That is my favorite scene of the Via Dolorosa. And I just love to sit there. And I just love to sit with Jesus and Mary. And sometimes the Holy Spirit is very strong. And sometimes the Lord is showing me things and casting a spotlight onto aspects of my own being and areas perhaps that need to be quenched by that love that exists between mother and son, or whatever the case may be. All of that being said, sometimes I finish that mystery and it's time to move on to the next one. But yet I feel as though the work of what the Holy Spirit was doing in that mystery is not over yet. It is perfectly all right to continue through the other decades with the meditation that is impressing itself upon you. There's no need to move on to those other mysteries. You're not, it's not like you're committing a sin if you stay with one of those mysteries. Remember that prayer is what, according to Teresa of Avila? It's friendly conversation. It's friendly interaction with the one whom we love. So when this interaction is taking place, when this movement of grace is going on within you, there's no reason to rush away from it. So sometimes we cause our own travail because we're not attentive. We're not attentive to what the Holy Spirit is doing within us. And we want to gain that sensitivity of spirit. And you might ask Our Lady, you know, I ask her for everything. You might ask her, you know, Mother, you had such sensitivity to the Spirit of the living God. I mean, you were, the Holy Spirit overshadowed you. And together in your womb, you produced the greatest thing that ever was, the God-man. There was a change, like an ontological change that took place in your very being when the Holy Spirit overshadowed you. The new covenant came. It was a new moment in time. It was the fullness of time. It was the fullness of time. We don't even know what those words mean, Mother, but here's the deal. I want to have that same sensitivity of spirit that you had. This is what I desire, Mother, that sensitivity to the Spirit, that knowledge of the Holy Spirit that you had. And St. Louis de Montfort tells us, Mother, that you give us all of the attributes of your soul when we consecrate ourselves to Jesus through you. And so I'm asking for that attribute of your soul, Mother. I'm asking as a loving daughter who dearly desires to know these things only because I so want to be in the will of the Father as you were. Moved and guided by the Spirit of the living God to all that he desires to do in me and through me and accomplish with me. All of that. All of it. And I'm going to tell you what, Our Lady is not going to refuse that prayer. She just isn't. How could she possibly, right? So the fact of the matter is, you know, ask Our Lady to give you the sensitivity of soul. And ask her, too, to take you into your prayer. Now, I was flying home from Ohio last night. It was a late night flight, and I was praying my rosary. I had to tell you, I was drifting off to sleep, and I was talking to our mother, and I was saying, you know, Mother, I'm really not praying this rosary. I don't know what I'm doing. Just don't want to put these beads down. But, you know, I can't. I'm so tired. I can't even meditate. All I can do is know I'm connected to you through these beads in some way. All I know is that, you know, my desire in my heart is to be united with these mysteries. And that's about all I can give right now because it's all I got, you know. And I just finished my rosary and I did not trouble myself about it. The night before, I fell asleep praying my rosary. Saint Therese of Lisieux says that when, you know, when we fall asleep praying our rosary, not to worry about it, our guardian angel finishes it for us. And I think that's delightful. So anyway, that's my answer to your question. It was a long, windy one, wasn't it, though? But I hope it helps you in some way. We're inviting you to call us 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're available to you out there on EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We've got Yolanda with us. She's calling us from Miami Lakes, Florida. EWTN.com is the way she's with us. Good morning, Yolanda.
Good morning, Jeanette.
How are you, sweetheart?
I'm okay. I'm better now that I was able to speak with you. Today's my birthday.
Happy birthday,
and,
sweetie.
Thank you. I just wanted to share, you spoke of writing something that later that you realized prepared you for your future sufferings.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's why I picked up the phone, because that happened to me. I was looking through some of my books, and I'm very devoted to St. Therese. Mm-hmm. And I found a paper that I wrote, not a paper, just lines, and I wrote down that I was the text, 2 Corinthians 1:3-5. But then I wrote what I understood, and I found this paper a few days ago, and little did I know that I was going to come down with Parkinson's, and I also ended up with ovarian cancer. And so I just wanted to share the few little lines that I wrote. And okay. I said to my husband, it was amazing. It's like what I needed to hear at the moment, but I had written it, so I realized that it's like God prepared me too, like the same thing that happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote down, accept suffering, for this too is a grace, a gift from God. It unites us to him, and receiving and accepting his gift, we can, it unites us to him, and receiving and accepting his gift, we can love him in our response. He comes to us to share this mystery as a great blessing that is intended for our good, as penance, purification, healing. It is always a manifestation of his tender love and mercy for me and for others when we accept and offer it up to him. So I just wanted to share that with you because I experienced that same thing. When I read this, the tears were running down my eyes because it was just what I needed to hear. But I wrote it many, many, many months ago before I ended up with Parkinson's.
Oh,
so
Yolanda.
I wanted to share that with you. Yeah.
What I'll tell you, what deep words you've written there, and surely the Holy Spirit was upon you when you were writing those words. God was indeed preparing you. And this is how our good God is. I was thinking as you were reading this, what graces are ours. I mean, this in and of itself shows the love of the Father. Well, people
it's
say,
tremendous.
Just a beautiful gift that you've given to us today, a beautiful confirmation.
Well, may I just share, I have become homebound because of the Parkinson's and my hand trembles, so I can't hardly write. But I wanted to still be able to evangelize the great mission that we're supposed to have. And so lately the Holy Spirit has inspired me to make angels. I make them from paper mache.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I give him those gifts, and I put a text in the back. And today I had just finished one for my mom, and the text was, "Do not let your heart be troubled." So no matter what our situation is, we can still love God no matter what the situation is. So it's like I tell my children, I may have Parkinson's, but Parkinson's doesn't have me.
Well, that's right. You see, and here, this is a grace-filled response to a suffering that God entrusts to us. And when we take that suffering, and you know this so well, I'm sure that I'm telling you nothing new. I'm sure you've been doing this. What did Jesus do with that suffering? He offered it to the Father on our behalf. And that is true intercession. When we are, when we take our travail and we offer it in union with the sufferings of Christ, on behalf of another, say for individuals that we know that are suffering deeply and have no knowledge of the way in which God wants to work within us through the midst of our travail, or for the beleaguered state that our church is in today, or for the misery of world conditions, whatever it is that the Holy Spirit prompts us to offer, when we take our suffering united to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are being, in a sense, many, you know, little words, what the Vatican Council tells us we're called to be, another Christ, meaning that God takes our suffering and he uses it and incorporates it into his plan of salvation for his people. And such great good comes. The outward manifestation of that action, I believe, is this beautiful ministry that you have developed in the making of these angels and tucking a verse in, because this brings hope to people. It brings trust. It brings to them a breath of the Holy Spirit that permits them to take the next step forward. And so, Yolanda, you give us beautiful witness today, beautiful example on how it is that we're called to live our lives in accordance with that which God entrusts to us. You demonstrate for us something else as well. You demonstrate for us what the supernatural outlook truly is, that we see with the eyes of the soul. We see with the eyes of God that which is truly taking place in the situation that confronts us. Too often we look with our natural eyes, and we can get so locked up in self-pity. We can get so locked up in bitterness and resentment that we have to go through such a trial. We can get so locked up in the question why, that we fail to look at the question how. How is God revealing himself to us in this? How does God desire for me to grow in union with him through this? How is God capable of using my suffering with my fiat? How is he capable of doing it, using it to the benefit of so many? And you're living in the how. You're not living in the why. And so I just am so grateful that you called in today, Yolanda. And I'd like to say a prayer for you. God, there is no contradiction in accepting our suffering and yet praying for healing. That's not contradictory at all. We pray for healing, but for the period of time that the cross endures, we accept, embrace, and surrender ourselves to that cross for the purpose that God has in mind for it to achieve in us and in others. So, friends, let's just gather here now and let's lift up our sister Yolanda, suffering from Parkinson's disease and ovarian cancer. And how is that working out for you, Yolanda?
Well, as it turns out, okay, I had to have a hysterectomy. And what happened was the doctor says that the cancer was, what he said, encapsulated, but they're still giving me chemo just in case.
Okay, well, I think that's a very good thing. All right, so let's pray. So, Father God, we do come together in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as his mystical body. And in our prayers, through our prayers, we lift up our sister Yolanda to you. You know, Father God, the debilitating reality of Parkinson's disease, and you know the virulent capability of ovarian cancer. And we're just asking you, in faith and in trust, that you would bring healing to our sister. That even though the disease might remain, the effects of the disease will not hinder her in any way. But we are asking that all of the effects of the disease would leave along with the disease. We dare to pray that because we know that there is nothing impossible with you. We dare to pray it because you tell us to bring our every prayer, our every supplication to you. We dare to offer because Jesus tells us when two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in our midst. We dare to pray it because you tell us in sacred scripture that anything that we pray in your name, the Father will hear and answer. We don't know when and how, but we know it will be done. And so it is that we offer Yolanda to you, asking for a complete and total healing of both this ovarian cancer as well as the Parkinson's disease. We ask, Father God, that you would continue to use your daughter in marvelous ways to be an instrument, a sign of the glorious deeds that you desire to work within the hearts and the lives of your people. We thank you for her witness and testimony of faith this day that builds us all up and helps for us to take the next step. We thank you and praise you, Jesus, that you never leave us orphaned nor abandoned, but you show us, even through each other, that you are with us. And that when you are with us, your grace is there, and where your grace is, it is with thanksgiving, it is with hope, it is with faith, it is with trust that we ask for this healing for your daughter, Yolanda. In the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and the merits of his cross, with the power of the Holy Spirit, and the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady, in Jesus' name we pray, amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Yolanda.
Thank you, Janet. God bless you.
God bless you, sweetheart. May God be praised for Yolanda's witness today, and I hope it speaks to you. I know it certainly speaks to me. We sometimes don't recognize these beautiful gifts that God gives to us. You know, Yolanda's talking about God prepared her for her suffering. And, you know, sometimes we miss these preparations because our eyes are not peeled to them. So I'm just going to pray a general prayer right now. Father God, I just pray right now that you remove the cataracts from our eyes, that you remove the blindness from our eyes, that we might see the abundant reality of your life in us, working through us, your life about us. We ask, Lord God, that we might not miss one demonstration, one manifestation of your divine life active within us, active in our circumstance. We pray, Lord, that you would give us an acuteness of spirit to recognize and realize the way in which you are revealing yourself to us, giving us guidance, giving us hope, giving us reason for faith and reason for trust. We ask, Father God, that we would continue to move forward, that this trust would grow in us, Father. We ask for that sensitivity of soul that I spoke about earlier, Mother. We ask that you give us your sensitivity of soul to your spouse, the Holy Spirit, that we might be aware of his promptings, that we might be aware of his leadings, that we might be aware of his graces, that we might be aware of his presence. May all of this be done according to your will, Father God, in the way in which we most need to realize it individually, uniquely, and one by one. And so it is that we offer this prayer too, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. In Jesus' name, amen. Kristen is with us. She's out there on EWTN.com. Hi, Kristen. How are you?
Well, I'm not very good, Johnette, because I've needed to hear from God. I need to know he loves me from everything horrible that's happened to me. And then I hear on the... It was a Protestant station, but anyway, the doctrine of election, which means I may not have even been chosen.
Oh, Christine.
So now that's what I'm believing, and that's
Christine,
why he doesn't
no, baby.
Answer me.
Listen, Kristen, we're going to come against that word right now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, because that is a false word. It's a heretical word. It is not the word of sacred scripture. It is not the word of God. It is not the teaching of the church. We come against that word. You are chosen by God. God chose for you to have life before the very foundations of the world were laid in place, and he made you, Kristen, in his image and likeness. And he dwells in you through the grace of baptism. And to the extent that you remain in a state of grace, which means that you do not commit mortal sin. And this is a word that carries with it a spirit that wants to attach itself to you and bring you to despair. And we stand against that word because it's a false word. And any time that word comes to you, you mount a holy defense against it. You call on Our Lady. And the prayer to pray is this: O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. Our Lady smites the head of that serpent that is seeking to devour your heart. Kristen, we're at the end of the show, but I want you to know you are in my rosary and I am praying for you. Now, you have to cooperate. Cooperate with the grace that God's giving you. You mount that holy defense. You say, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. I do not trust in false words. I trust in the one who is our salvation, Jesus. I trust in you. And you say that over and over again. Sweetie, I've got to go. God bless you all. Bye-bye.